The letter V. Vampires. In December of 1431, in a Romanian fortress, a child was born whose name was Vlad Tepes. His father, military governor of Transylvania, was named Vlad Dracul. As Vlad Tepes grew up, he adopted the nickname by which he was often called, Dracula, which was simply a diminutive that meant son of Dracul. In 1442, the young Vlad Dracula was kidnapped by political enemies of his father's and held for 6 years in Turkey. On his release, he learned that both his father and his older brother had been tortured and assassinated. With that news, the now 17-year-old Dracula vowed revenge, and he finally achieved it in 1456, killing the assassins and taking over the Wallachian throne of Romania in the process. During his 6-year reign, he was a cruel, merciless, often sadistic ruler with a preference for impaling, decapitating, blinding, boiling, burning, or skinning those who opposed or annoyed him. He also forced an assembly of his enemies to build a fortress for him in the town of Panari, ruins of which exist today as Castle Dracula. Dracula once invited the local vagrants and homeless, without mentioning that he considered them all to be lowlives and thieves, to a great feast in one of the halls of his court. As the meal ended, Dracula ordered the hall sealed and torched. All the guests burned to death. Another story goes that, in order to intimidate a sultan who was trying to capture the throne, Dracula poisoned enough wells and rivers and set fire to enough villages that when the sultan and his forces finally reached the outskirts of the city in what would have undoubtedly been a successful siege, they were confronted by the impaled bodies of tens of thousands of Turks. The sight of this horror came to be called the Forest of the Impaled, and the sultan, by the way, retreated. Dracula was eventually assassinated in 1476. And if you're wondering where in that story Vlad Dracula's thirst for drinking blood is mentioned, triggering his status as the world's most famous and historic vampire, don't bother browsing back through it. It's not there. There's no reference in the life of Dracula, unspeakable human being that he was, to his having the slightest interest in drinking blood. Novelist Bram Stoker, who created that particular fictional vampire, simply chose Dracula as the model for his books, and thus was born one of the great franchises in literary and film history. Of course, the vampire myth dates back thousands upon thousands of years in virtually every culture on Earth in some variation on the dead rising from their graves during the night, sometimes in formal wear and capes, moving through villages and countrysides, sucking the blood of humans and animals, and, at will, turning their prey into vampires as well and ushering them into the land of the undead. Opinions varied on how they could be stopped. Piercing their hearts, particularly with a cross, was rumored to be effective, or you could decapitate them and place their heads between their feet. Pouring holy water on their graves and/or burning them often worked, according to legend. And then there's my particular favorite. Vampires theoretically love to count things. So if you simply spread poppy seeds around the graves of vampires, they would be so enthralled with counting the seeds, they would simply forget to go on hunting and blood-drinking sprees. What keeps all this fascinating, colorful mythology and fiction from being enjoyable is that there have been believers, and believers have led to too many tragedies to imagine. People throughout the centuries were accused of being vampires if they were simply born with some oddity like a caul or pointed teeth or born out of wedlock or if they died before they were baptized or if they died in some unexplainable way. Exhumations were common as believers checked corpses for signs of vampirism. There was even a French theologian named Dom Augustin Calmette who, in 1746, composed a long, logical treatise on the validity of the existence of vampires. What prompted him is anyone's guess, although I'm suspicious that a hallucinogen called laudanum, which was common at the time, might have been involved. But he lent still more credibility to a myth that had no business becoming anything beyond that. Applause goes to a member of the Austrian royal family, Empress Marie Theresa, who finally sent her own physician throughout the land to do a thorough investigation. He did, and he returned to her with a report stating in no uncertain terms that no such thing as vampires existed, nor had they ever, with which Empress Marie Theresa enacted a series of laws making it a punishable crime to tamper with graves and desecrate corpses. That there are still those today who take vampirism beyond its rightful place as a myth is an unfortunate fact, but for the record, I promise you, there are no true vampires, only pretenders who've adopted a violent legacy of fiction as an excuse for their own violence and disturbed behavior.